Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. It's to our Each One Reach One Day. It's friends and family, however you want to say it. We're glad you're here. Excited. We have had a good weekend. We've had a busy weekend. Friday night, we went and saw Casting Crowns in concert. And if you've never saw them, you need to go see them sometime. We really enjoyed it. Had Zach Williams and a couple other with them. And you remember when you was a kid, it was easier to break stuff to your parents when you was around a bunch of people. Well, we want Carrie to know she's probably going to get a message from Georgia Department of Safety. Probably going to be with our band tag number on it. We was trying to figure out how to get to, well, we put Woodstock in there. We'd been a couple times, but trying to figure out a quicker way maybe and begin following GPS. And we got to 575 and puts us on this lane. I noticed there was no other traffic over there. And thought it was kind of weird, and you could look to the right and see everybody sitting still for hours, probably been there for hours, and we just passed right by them. I think you're supposed to have some kind of pass, so we'll find out in probably a month or two what all was going on with that. But yeah, the sad thing is once you get on that thing, you can't get off. We went right past where we were supposed to go and just kept riding, and everybody was hollering that that's the Woodstock exit, but I couldn't run across a wall. That'd be harder to explain than a ticket, but we had a good time. We had great fellowship. We stayed out later than I have in years. I think we got into bed Georgia time, 3 o'clock Saturday morning, so not used to that, but we had a great time, and I thank God for the fellowship we had and for the good time we had, and thank Him for our church family. We even was able to FaceTime Pat at 1 o'clock in the morning. Wasn't my idea even, and I told him at her age she should be asleep. But they wouldn't listen. But we're glad you're here this morning. Do we have any prayer requests before we get started? We do this every Sunday morning. And we would like to take your prayer requests if you got any. I want to ask you to remember my mother as she's dealing with her battle with cancer. And I know we have many others here. Do we have any that we don't know about we need to remember? Amen. Remember that? Can you remember Miss Louise as she's getting some tests for her heart? Charlie's probably going to have some knee surgery in the near future, he's hoping, so remember him. Do we have any others? Misty's dad is recovering. Can you remember him and the many others that are in the nursing home? I know there's a lot of others over there. Remember the families who've lost loved ones? We have many around us in our community. Continue to remember Miss Frida. I think she stands in need of our prayers this morning, her family, so remember them also. Any other prayer requests? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And I ask you just worship. Just make yourself at home. I know you might be in a strange place, and you may not know us, but we're all God's family. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Bible teaches we're family. So worship and just make yourself at home as we welcome you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for each one that's came out. Father, I thank you for the ones that's here that's not usually in our midst. God, we ask that you open our hearts and minds that we all receive your word this morning. God, we pray for the prayer requests been made known. God, you know what each person or each family stands in need of. You know the heartaches. You know the struggles. You know all the problems. And God, I ask that you comfort us this morning. I ask that you give us the strength to continue, and Father, as our singers come to sing, I ask you bless them as they sing praise unto you, and God, that you let us just have a great time. Most of all, we ask that you would be in our midst. Without the Holy Spirit of God here, we can do nothing. God, we pray this morning that you come and worship with us this morning. God, we ask you to be with us as we go into the preaching hour. Give me the words to preach. Help us open our hearts and minds to receive it, that we may leave here this morning saying it's truly great to be in the house of God. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises. Thank you.
While we compose ourselves, let's take time to welcome those around us this morning.
This world can be cold and bitter. Feels like we're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying, let it burn so brightly that everyone
my song, join the one that lives.
sing like that, I never shut up. Appreciate that song this morning. Appreciate the song service. And I was sitting there praying as I knew what was about to happen. I said, Lord, please don't let her pass out. Please don't let her pass out. But it's truly a great sight to get to see the... Y'all just have to... Had to be in our classes and hear all the prayers that went up for this young man as he's been away on serving his country. And I'd like to... I realize something that I take them for granted. Our armed forces, I take them for granted every day, as I think we all do. And on behalf of myself and my family and church, I'd like to say thank you for the sacrifice you've made and many others just like him that go and defend our country so that I can stand here this morning and do what God has called me to do. And God has used our military to protect us and to keep us a free nation. And thank God they're still... men, women, boys, and girls that are still signing up to do that and give their time for us. So thank you this morning. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 1. Very, very short verse this morning, but a very powerful verse. As I begin praying about what to preach today on this Friends and Family Day, or Each One Reach One Day, however you want to word it, this kept coming to my mind. This one word is impossible. Impossible. There's a lot of impossible things that to you and to me and you that we see, a lot of things that don't seem there's any way out of it. But I want to tell you today, the most impossible thing that has ever been is for sinful man to be made back right with God. God is a holy God. He's completely holy. There's no sin at all in him, never has been, never will be. And you and I have been separated from him by something called sin. And unless there is a way made for me and you to be back to him, we will forever be separated. But thanks be to God that one day he saw fit to send his son to die on a cross and to suffer all that pain and agony and raise again the third day so that me and you could be reconciled back to God. And that was impossible if when you looked at it and understood how in the world could sinful man be made back right with a holy God. Because if you be honest with yourselves, and you know yourself, I don't know you, I know me, but me is pretty bad. I have a lot of things that is wrong with me. And to compare myself to a being that is completely holy, I stand wanting a lot. There's a big gap there that has to be filled. But my friend today, I want to tell you that what's impossible with man is possible with God. Amen. In Luke chapter number 1, verse 37, not even going to ask you to stand, it's a short. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, some of you may know it by heart, but it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." For with God nothing shall be impossible. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. God, we thank you for the time we've had here already this morning. I thank you for the friends and the family and the fellowship. But God, I ask we put all of it out of our hearts and minds for just a little bit and that we focus on you and focus on your word. And God, I pray you give me the words to preach this morning. And God, that you... open hearts and minds, and there may be one in our midst that doesn't know you, that this thing seems impossible that I have just talked about, to be reconciled to a God, or even yourself may seem impossible to them of how can you be, and how can you be the God that we preach about and we talk about. And God, I pray this morning that you'll open hearts and open minds that we may truly understand you this morning, that all things are possible with God. For Father, we thank you, and we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want you to look at something this morning and think about something with me for just a little bit. If you're going to talk about a matter that's impossible, I think you need to know the facts. I think you need to understand some things and understand where we stand this morning. And I want to tell you, I don't know anybody here. I know a lot of people here, but some of y'all I don't know. I don't know anything about your life, but I do know something, that you was born a sinner. You was born a sinner. You didn't get any options in this. You didn't get to choose. If you did get to choose, you would have messed it up also. But you was given a sin nature from Adam all the way down. And you don't get to escape that. You get born into this thing called sin. But listen, thanks be to God this morning that there's also a way out of this thing. You turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Listen what it says. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It don't say some have sinned. It don't say that this one sinned or this color sinned or that color sinned or the big ones sinned or the tall ones or the short ones or the small ones or any of this. It don't say that the preachers have not sinned or the teachers have not sinned or the deacons have not sinned. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, if you're here this morning, the sound of my voice, you must be a human being. And if you are a human being, you was born into sin and you fit into that little word right there, all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what is the problem with that? And how do we know what that does? And you turn to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, and it tells you something else. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now, because you was born into sin, there's a separation been created between you and a holy God. And listen, we talk about this all the time. You probably get sick of hearing it, but there's so many ways going around today of how can a man be right with God? Well, surely you must feed the poor. Surely that must help. Or surely you must do these things, and surely that would do good. Or surely you must serve people, and that'll get you in there. Or this and that. My friend, there will nothing close that gap this morning but the precious Son of God, Jesus Christ. And your faith in Him is all that will work. That verse is very simple. It says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Now, I want you to think about this. You say, well, you preach about God being a loving God all the time, and I hear preachers say that God is love and all this. Yes, my friend, God is love, but He's also a just God. And to prove this, you could look at the Bible of when His very Son was hanging on the cross and all the sins of the world was upon His shoulders. And the Bible says that the sky turned dark. And the reason it did is because God had to turn His face from His own Son even, not because there was any sin in Him, but because the whole sins of the world was on Him. That's how serious this sin thing is with a holy God. And surely if He had to turn His back from His own Son, He has to turn His back from me this morning, who was born a dirty, rotten sinner, who knows no good. The Bible says my righteousness is as filthy rags. And if He turned His face on His own Son, He will turn His face on you. He has to. Yes, He loves you, but He cannot look upon sin. He is that holy. He says He's hid His face from you, and He will not hear. We hear it all the time on our TV stations. You turn it on, and they'll say, well, this has happened in this part of our country. We need your prayers. Or will you pray for this? It is on every station you turn on. They'll be asking for prayers. But never do you hear one say that first you must come to Jesus and ask forgiveness of your sins and have that gap filled, or you cannot come to Him. He will not hear you. His face will be turned to you. He will not hear you unless you have been saved by this blood, unless you have been reconciled. That scripture says He'll turn His face, He'll hide His face, and He will not hear. My friends, the first prayer He hears from you is a prayer of repentance. That's the first prayer He will hear. So listen, the first fact is that you were born a sinner. You didn't have an option in it. You didn't have a choice in it. You was born into this thing. It's impossible for man to be right with God when your own righteousness is a filthy rag. And listen, what's so serious about this thing called sin? Why does God not... What's so bad about it? And why will God hide His face from it? And why is it so ugly? And if it is so ugly, then why in the world, what can we do? And can we pay for this sin? And the Bible even tells us that sin carries a great debt. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, listen to what it says. It says, the wages of sin is death. In other words, the cost of sin is very expensive. As a matter of fact, the cost of it is death. You go all the way back to the first sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing had to happen? An animal had to die, didn't it? And when the animal died, the skin of that animal was used to clothe that person. But listen, it just hid the sin. Never could it do away with it. The Bible says it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to do away with sin. It said it took the very blood of the only begotten Son of God to wash away sins eternally. The wages of sin is death. It carries a high price tag. I heard a preacher say it this way one time. What if our sins we committed, we had to pay for them right at the time we committed them? What if that thing we done we know is wrong, but the payment for that thing was expected to be paid the moment we committed that sin? My friend, it would change the way I live life. It would change the way you live life. But listen, sin carries a very, very high price tag. A very high price tag. Matter of fact, it carries a debt that you can't even pay. You carries a debt that you can't pay. Hey, you cannot even pay this debt. The only choice you have is to give your life through a death, which is a separation from God, which is not very popular to preach this morning. In all different places, you don't hear it preached a lot, but you will hear that if you don't come to know God in the free pardon of sin through His Son, Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, not my words, you will spend eternity separated from a holy God in a place which is called hell. And listen, the Bible says that's a terrible place. It says a place of heat, of his torment. And it said there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it says a place that was, listen to this. The Bible even says it's a place never prepared for man. Wasn't prepared for you. I've heard people say, well, if this God is such a loving God, why does He send anybody to hell? My friend, He doesn't send anybody to hell this morning. He's offered a free way of salvation. If you go to hell, it's by your own choosing. It's by your own doing, because He has given you an opportunity to hear the gospel. He's given you an opportunity to accept a free gift. The wages of sin is high. It costs a bunch. And it's a debt that you can't even pay. It's impossible to be in the presence of God unless you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot stand before Him. And the Bible teaches that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Now I want to tell you, I tell you how I interpret this, and I'm not real smart. I'd rather bow my knee now, and I'd rather my tongue confess now that Jesus is Lord than have to do it on that day of judgment when there won't be no opportunity for grace, that marvelous grace we sang about. That won't be no opportunity for that. The Bible teaches us as we die, that's the way we'll stay. There's no such thing as purgatory, a place where we're held. When you leave this walks of life, the condition your soul is in is the condition you will meet God. Well, that's a big question, ain't it? How will we be when we meet Him? Will we be in a place where we can stand before Him? Will we be in a place where that gap has been closed and God will no longer turn His back on us? Will there be a place such as that? Well, listen, they can be. That's the good news. Listen, you read those verses, that the wage of sin is expensive, it's death. Boy, that leaves you in a way that is just absolutely distraught, don't it? It leaves you in a way that says, I don't know what we can do. What if verse 23 didn't have a B part? Have you ever thought about that? What if verse 23 didn't have that second part after that semicolon? How sad would life be? For the wage of sin is death. If it stopped right there, boy, you and me, me and you would be in a mess, wouldn't we? But listen to what it says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, this is a free gift, and it's offered to you, and if you don't take it, it's your fault. It's a free gift. Whew. There's something that makes impossible possible. And it's a little word called faith. And then this faith is the fuel it takes to get from impossible to possible. If you notice that verse I read you in Luke chapter 1, verse number 37, it says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." It's impossible for man to stand before a holy God because he's sinful, but with God, man can stand before Him. What does this mean? This means that through that free gift that verse 6:23 told us about, that through this and believing this, that impossible can be made possible. It can be made possible, and it's fueled from a little word called faith. Now listen, my friend, faith is very hard. And let me tell you why it's very hard. It's because we cannot see faith. We cannot touch faith. We cannot understand faith. We can't understand how something that we can't touch and feel and see, how can it be real? How can it be real? How can God even be real when we cannot touch Him? How can God even be real when I cannot physically see Him? How can God be real when I can't audibly hear Him speak? So how in the world can God be real? My friend, it happens from a little thing, and we have to believe this thing, and it's called faith. That's how it happens. And the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 6, this is this. Just listen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, did you hear that? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God without faith. It is impossible for you to be right with God and to please him without faith this morning. It's not even possible. There's no way to come up with it. There's nothing you can add to it unless you have faith in that sentence. You cannot please God. And my friend, if God is not pleased, hey, have you ever heard those saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Well, my friends, this is more important than mama, because if God ain't happy, ain't nobody will ever be happy. But God is happy when you come to him through faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Listen to this. For he that cometh to God must first believe he is. How can you come to someone that you don't even believe exists? How can you come to someone that you don't even know that they're there or not? Listen, have I ever seen God? No, I have not. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that. I have seen the works of God. I have seen what God can do in my life if I yield to him. But no, I have not ever physically saw God. And you haven't either. Listen, you haven't either. Remember when Moses wanted to see God? What did he say? He said, I can't show you that. You can't look upon my face, but I'll show you my hinder parts. You can see the hinder part, but you can't accept the glory. Your human body can't be around this glory. You cannot stand it. You will die. So I'm going to protect you. I'm going to put you in a cleft of a rock so I can pass by. My friend, today, if you're going to please God, you must have faith to believe that God is. That God is. I want to give you some facts. This ain't even what I had planned. But I want to give you some facts where you can know God is. When you walk right outside there this morning, you see everybody's car turn yellow. You know why that yellow's out there? Because it brings those beautiful flowers you see. It brings those beautiful vegetables you're going to eat in a little while. It pollinates all that stuff, and it does what it's supposed to do the way God set it up. You begin studying this earth, it's tilted at the right tilt. It spins at the right speed, and it's absolutely hanging on nothing. I know teachers say it's on its axis, but you can't see them. You can't see them, but it sits there and it spins just right. And it does everything just right. We have summer, we have winter, we have fall, spring, we have all these seasons. And why? Because it makes the earth habitable for me and you. It makes us have water, it makes us have food. And listen, you can believe what you want to. You can believe in the Big Bang Theory. And I've heard preachers say this, that they may have been a Big Bang, that God spoke it and bang, it happened. I don't know how it happened, but my friend, the only way I can believe it today is God. I don't have enough faith to believe any other way. I believe God did it. I believe he's still alive. I believe he's still speaking in the hearts of men and women. I believe God is still working. I believe God still makes the impossible possible. But listen to this. If you're going to please God, you've got to first believe that he is, that he's there, that he's alive, and he is who he said he is. But he goes further. He says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible teaches if you want to find God, you can find God. Now listen, the Bible also teaches that men must be drawn to God and that God must soften the hearts of men so that we can believe in God and we can accept Jesus Christ. And the Bible plainly teaches that. And the Bible teaches that it's impossible for men to seek God. It's not natural for you to seek God. My friend, if you're being awoke this morning, if God's waking you up and shaking you and saying, hey, maybe this thing is right. Maybe he knows what he's talking about out of that word of God. Maybe that tug I'm feeling, and maybe that's a pull I've been hearing all my life. And it definitely is. But I believe if a man wants to be saved today, I believe God will save him. I'm just that dumb. I believe that spirit will tug. I believe it'll work, and I believe that God will do this. It says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The facts of faith are everywhere. Let me give you the best one I know. You realize that you exercise your faith every day. Every day you get up out of the bed, you have faith your legs are going to hold you. Yes, you can touch them, but you have faith that they're going to hold you up. You walk out that door, you get into your car, you got a faith that's going to crank. How do I know that? Because you act upon it, you turn the switch. And as you turn the switch, it cranks up, and you put it into gear, and as you start rolling, you have faith that the axle is going to stay up under it. You have faith that the lug nuts are not going to come off. But how do I know that? Because you'll go down the road 80 miles an hour, and some of us faster on the wrong lane we never intended to be in. But we'll go that. We have faith that car can take us from there to there. I tell you, a greater faith than that for me is I'll go to Atlanta Airport, and I hate heights. But I'll get on an airplane and have enough faith to believe that thing can take me to Las Vegas, Nevada. Or it can take me to California. Or it can take me to Russia or Japan or anywhere I want to go. I got faith to believe it. And how do I know I've got that faith? Because I start towards it. I step onto the plane. If I didn't think it would carry me, I wouldn't step on it. We exercise faith every day. So faith is really not that hard. Let me tell you something better than that. You have faith. And you do something that you cannot see. How many people in here breathe? Come on. If you're not, we need to call 911. We all breathe. Do you know what you breathe? I'm not going to say the word because I can't say the word oxygen right. So when I'm excited. Do you know what you breathe? You breathe oxygen. You have faith. Your body acts upon it. You don't even have to think about it. It begins taking that oxygen. And let me ask you, and you may be way better than I, and I've got terrible eyesight this morning, and I've got a lot of other problems, but I don't believe any of us can see the oxygen we breathe, can we? But it's there. How do I know? Because I live. I breathe it in and out. I breathe out carbon dioxide, but breathe in oxygen. How do I know that? It's because I'm alive. Listen, that's how simple faith is, but yet we make it so hard when it comes to God. And the reason we do, I think, is because we've let a lot of outside sources begin shaping our minds and telling us that, well, we can't figure out how God can really be because I can't make it make sense to myself. My friend, I don't even understand how my body can breathe out oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide, and this thing goes over and over, and the trees give off exactly what I need, and all this happens. I can't understand that, but I'm glad it happens. The same thing with God. I've heard people say, well, I will believe it when I can see Him. I will believe it when I can figure it out. My friend, you'll never believe it because faith, you cannot figure it out. Even though it's so simple that you can't even figure this thing out. Now, the Bible even talks that the angels desire to look into it. That's in 1 Peter. It said the angels desire to look into this thing of faith, this thing of grace that God has given me and you. And this thing of faith is amazing. But it takes faith to close that gap. It takes faith to go from impossible to possible. It takes faith. Let me sum this faith up and I'm going to move on. Faith is simply believing in something you cannot see. Believing in something you cannot see. But the Bible gives the best definition in Hebrews. That Hebrews I read you, that's the best definition. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That's the best definition of faith. You won't find a better definition anywhere. Now listen, but in Alabama terms, it's believing in something I cannot see or something I cannot touch. And I've given you just a very, very few facts, but I challenge you. You may be one that has to find out more facts. You go somewhere and you get you some books down and you begin studying about all the things that nature does. And if you really want to believe in God, you get to studying the human body. And you'll find out something pretty quick, that God is amazing. And the way God formed this body is amazing. And the way God had us to live is amazing. And by the way, I'll throw this in there for free. Every life is important to God. I don't care what color you are or where you're from or any of this stuff. Every life's important. And we should do all we can do to preserve life because it's very important to God. We're made in the image of God. And He made us to be back right with Him. But He will not twist our arm. He will not make you. He loves you that much. They will not make you. So faith is a fuel that takes you from impossible to possible. But what about after we believe? What about after the gap is filled? How do I know that things are okay? How do I know? Boy, I struggled with this when I first got saved. I struggled with this. I didn't know. I said, Lord, I want to know this thing. I said, I don't know what I said that day. Listen, this is the devil how he works, by the way. He loves to make you doubt. Yeah, the number one things he does is doubt and deceive. If he can deceive you and make you doubt, brother, he's got you. But listen, the most dangerous thing in the earth is a doubting Christian. Why? Because they'll sit on the bench and they'll never do anything. They may come to the house of God. They may even go out and work in the community, but they'll never be effective for the kingdom of God because they really do not know where they stand. And today you can leave here knowing for certain that you know Jesus Christ and that you're made right with Him. And I began saying this as I first got saved. Well, how do I know? And listen, since then I've even worried about this. God, how do I know I repented of all the things? God, how do I know this? How did I understand that I did everything I needed to do? And then in Bible college class, even last week, we began talking about this thing. And our professor showed us something so simple, it showed us what happened when we got saved. I'm fixing to show you a great act of faith this morning. You're going to get to go home and tell people you saw a little short, good-looking Alabama preacher show you faith in action. I want to show you this morning how you got saved. One step towards God is what saved you. It wasn't what you said. It wasn't even coming to an altar, although I think it's a great place to be. It wasn't bowing your head, closing your eyes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 puts it pretty simple. For you're saved by grace through faith. You know what saved you this morning? You know what made the impossible possible? It's when you realized you was a sinner, you had no hope, that you was on your way to hell, there was nothing else you could do, and you realized you needed a Savior. You wasn't sure what to say, you wasn't sure what to do, but one day somewhere, you may not even physically step, but spiritually, you took a step towards God. And my friend, the minute you stepped towards Him, He ran towards you with outstretched arms and grabbed you and held you. And listen, my friend, I believe according to the Word of God, He has not let go. Let me show you this, of why I believe this. I'm so excited I'm getting things messed up. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on in perfection. You see, church, I want to stop right here for a minute. The reason that most people never get off the milk of the Word and never get to the meat is because we argue about different doctrines. Throughout all of our denominations and all these things, we get so many things up in there, we begin arguing about these simple things, but Paul tells us right here, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, in other words, let's get this straight. Jesus Christ is the only way, amen? If we believe that, we can go forward. He is the only way to God. He is the only cure for sin. He is the only way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's all they are. If me and you agree on that, brother, then we can go forward. Listen to this. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He's saying, hey, we got the doctrine of Christ. Everything else is pretty good shape. And this we will do if God permit. He says if God wants us to, we'll go over these doctrines. We'll study these doctrines, but let's get one thing straight, that Jesus is the only way. And through Him, it's the only way you'll get to God. And once you come to Him, He's strong enough to hold on. For it is impossible. Boy, there's that word, ain't it? You see, I've been preaching for about 25 minutes about the possible, about the impossible become impossible. And here, the possible becomes impossible with minding your minds, minding your spirits. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, that no more than once you have saw, once it's been illuminated, once you've understood, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, that's the salvation of Jesus Christ, and we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches it comes in and takes residence up in our lives. You have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. They shall fall away to renew them again in repentance, seeing they crucify themselves to the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. My friend, the same God who is begging you, who begged you that day to step towards Him, to come towards Him, and who filled that gap, that same God today is able to hang on you. It tells us in John, it said that, hey, you're in His hand and nothing can pluck us out of His hand. Hey, I'm not that strong. I'm stronger than these boys up here are, but I'm not that strong. But I can take a quarter in my hand, I can hold it, and you got to be a pretty good sized fella to get it out of anybody's hand. It takes a little bit of work to do it. And listen, the hand of God, my friend, is way stronger than any man you've ever met. And I challenge to see if anybody you think could open the hand of God. And the Bible teaches you're in the hand of God, and if nothing's stronger than God, then nobody can pluck you out of your hand. The Bible says neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor nothing can separate us from the love of God. My friend, once you're His, I'm dumb enough to believe He can keep you. That's just what I believe. All things are possible with God. You got to understand something. We're not messing with some weak sissy. He is a man. He's a man's man. He is a man of all mans, and he is very strong. There's nothing ever stronger. There's nothing ever better. There's nobody smarter. And people think they're smarter, but they're not smarter than God. Even his word is smarter than all men. Hey, if you begin studying out history, and I know some people in history say this isn't true, but we was taught in school that some of these explorers thought that the world was flat. Now, some people say that nobody ever believed it. I don't know. I know I was taught that in school at one point. But it's in the Bible that the earth is a sphere, which means round. God knows everything, and he put everything we'll ever need in this word. He's also a man of few words. The God who created all heaven and all earth and everything in it, this is all we've got recorded of him. I've never studied how many words is in here. It depends on what translation you have, but there are 66 books. In the Protestant Church Bible, there are 66 books. There's a lot of words, but it's not many words for a man who's always been and who always will be. That's a few words. But you know what he's given us? He's given us exactly what we need to come to him through faith. Of something so simple, we have made it so hard. We've made it seem so hard. And it's come because we weren't willing to say, well, and I read about this last night as I've been reading a book on the apostles. That they would come out of this one man who was praying that the unclean spirits would come out of this man. And the apostles began making fun of him, if you will, or talking about him. And Jesus said, hey, suffer him to do the thing. Suffer him to do the work. You see, we get caught up in thinking that we're the only ones that can do anything for God. My friend, God's using people all over this world of all different denominations for all his work. All things are possible with God. That problem you have in your life, it is possible with God. My mother's facing pancreatic cancer right now. According to the doctors, this thing looks impossible. I don't know if it's God's will to heal her. I don't know if it's God's will that she'll go home. Whatever it is, I believe God is perfect. If he takes my mother, you know what I still believe? That God is perfect. You know why? Because I read in his word. I read that he gives and he takes away. The Bible says there's a time for every season. There's a time to plant. There's a time to sow. Same as plant, ain't it? Time to reap. There's a time for laughing. There's a time for crying. There's a time for singing. There's a time for being quiet. There's a time to die. There's a time to live. God's way is perfect, my friends. And the impossible with you is made possible when you add one little word called faith. He says, you've got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountain. There was a group that had a problem with salvation. You remember when a rich young ruler came to Jesus? And he said, Lord, I have done all these things. I'm a great person. I fed the poor. I've done all these things. I've done all this. He said, what else can I do to be saved? He said, sell all that you have and follow me. The Bible says he went away sorrowful. And then the disciples come to him and they said, well, God, who can be saved? Who can be saved this morning? You see, the Jewish believed that if you was rich, it was a blessing from God. And I believe, well, everything you've got this morning is a blessing from God. You may be saying, well, preacher, I ain't rich. But let me tell you something. If you begin studying about the world's culture or all the worlds around, all the nations we've got throughout our whole world, if you own $250 worth of goods, you're richer than over half the world. So all of us drove here this morning. I don't care what kind of car you've got. It's probably worth $250. Or if not, all of us live in a home. I don't care what kind of home you got. That doesn't make who you are anyway. But if you've got a home, it's probably worth more than $250. My friend, this morning you are rich. But Jesus says something. It's hard. It's hard for the rich to come to the kingdom of God. They looked at him and they said, well, this man has been blessed by God because he's got all these riches. Who then can be saved? He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know what that means? That means that man trusted in his riches. That means that a man who ever trusts in anything of his own doing will never, ever enter the kingdom of God. I know that the eye of a needle was in Jerusalem at the gate. I believe it was talking about a literal needle. Why? Because it's impossible for man to get to God on his own being. It's impossible. A camel that's, I don't know how tall they are, they probably They're taller than me, and that ain't very tall. Listen, it says it's impossible for that. And I don't see any way possible that thing can be put through the eye of a needle like you sew a button on with. That looks impossible. But I believe if God wanted to happen, it could happen. But what's more impossible than that is me and you being made right with God. And this morning, that, my friends, have been made possible. Over 2,000 years ago, there was a man who lived a perfect life. The Bible says he never sinned, and I believe the Bible because it's the only truth. The Bible says he never sinned, said he lived a perfect life, he fulfilled all the law. It said that he was beaten one day, unmercifully. It says in Isaiah that his face or his visage was not even recognizable. You couldn't even tell who he was. It says he was hung on a cross. And it says that they didn't take his life, he gave it freely. I've heard people say, I'd love to have been there with them Roman soldiers and knocked them in the head as they was nailing my Lord to the cross. My friend, them Roman soldiers didn't put him on the cross. You did. Your sins put him on the cross. He was nailed to a cross through his hands and feet. They stood that thing up. They come back in a few hours to kill him. He was already dead. The Bible said not a bone of him will be broken. Stuck a spear in his side and out come blood and water. We could preach about that for a while, but we're not. It says that he was taken down, carried to a tomb, a borrowed one. He didn't even have one of his own. Carried to a borrowed tomb. He was laid in there. They sealed it all the way around it because they knew what was being spoken, that he would rise again. They put guards outside even. The Bible teaches on the third day, the stone was rolled away and the grave was empty. And you know what's even better than that? They're still skeptics. Maybe some skeptics on the sound of my voice. But for those skeptics, the Bible said he was seen of over 500. I said this at Barbie's funeral the other day, but I'll say it again. You can go, the Bible is your number one book. You believe what the Bible says. But if you have to look further, if you're just one of those that has to dig, dig, and dig, Josephus was a famous historian. Josephus tells about men who saw Jesus. Other historians in that day tell about men who physically saw the resurrected body of Christ walking. I don't have to believe Josephus. I don't have to believe any of those. I believe my Bible. It says that even today, he's alive on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and you. He's our lawyer. He's our lawyer. Every time I do something, he pleads the blood. He pleads the blood. You know what? He can't die. The Bible says that there's a few things that is impossible with God. There's a few things that are impossible with God. Number one, he cannot lie. God cannot lie. You won't find it. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 18, I think it is. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, he can't lie. By two or more things in which it is impossible for God to lie, he cannot lie. We have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, laid a hold upon the hope set before us. It goes on down to say he's an anchor for our soul. My friends, the reason you anchor a ship is where it don't move. You believe in Jesus Christ this morning, if you gave him your life, I believe you're secure. I believe he can hold. I believe he can hold. He can make the impossible possible. If you would, please stand. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. I do know that if you're alive, you have problems. I do know if you're in this room, you have some issues that you can't figure out. I know if you're in this room that you was born a sinner. That precious little baby they're holding back there. Listen, it has a sin nature. Yes, it's precious. But when he gets a little bit older, whenever there's just a little bit more time and you take another precious little baby and you set them down and you put one toy in front of them, you're going to see a sin nature come out that hasn't been taught. Of all of us in here got kids, and we all do, how many of us have ever had to teach them to lie? None of us. How many of us ever had to teach them to want to be rebellious? We don't have to teach it. It's put there. We're all given this sin nature. Thanks be to God, through faith, that gap gets closed. The impossible becomes possible. Amen. As they play this morning, they're giving Pat a day off because we thought she's going to be in the hospital with a heart attack. As they play, you need to come this morning. God is still in the saving business. What you say down here, it's not going to save you. What's going to save you is that act towards faith, that first movement towards God When you make that, when that brain tells that first muscle to move, you're telling God that you trust Him. And that through trusting Him, that's all He asks. He don't ask nothing else but to believe Him and to trust Him. Will you this morning? I'm even begging you. I don't even want to brag about it. I don't even want to tell people, hey, boy, it's good to put that stuff on Facebook. Listen, we don't put a lot of our stuff on Facebook because that's God's business. This morning, if you need anything, you need to talk to God about anything, you need to talk to us about anything, I can't do a lot for you. I'll try. But I can point you to one who can. Will you make the impossible possible this morning through faith as it plays?